Rolling on a Cap J Hood ESPN 1000. It's an opening day for the White Sox at home against the Giants. First time they've ever opened a season against a National League team over a guaranteed rate. The game's moved from 3:10 to 2:10, 1:30 pregame because there's going to be inclement weather later tonight. Michael Kopech is on the bump against Anthony DeSclafani. Rick Hahn is a great friend of our show, and he joins us here on Cap and J Hood. Rick, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Okay, I have a question for you. So there's a story out there on how Ryan Poles traded the number one pick down to Carolina. And before he did that, he picked up the phone and called Kyle Davidson, the GM of the Blackhawks, because he said, I noticed you're making trades, not just for picks, getting players. Have you ever gotten a call from an executive in another sport that said, Rick, you've been down this road before, signing veterans and getting international, but doing all these different things where you've imparted your wisdom on somebody in another sport?
That has happened. Frankly, I view that sort of as a little more of a confidential, leaning on advice about how to handle certain tricky elements. But I do think there's a camaraderie across the different sports, and frankly, there's not a ton of people who get the different pressures and different pulls and pushes on the position. So anytime I've had a chance to talk to a executive with another club, even if in another sport, it's kind of reassuring because they get it. They might not have to understand your specific transaction or what you're doing per se, but they get the weight of the position. And then it's nice to have a conversation from time to time with someone who gets it like that.
Rick, what does opening day mean to you?
Oh, I love opening day. I mean, it's hard not to. And I think one of the amazing things about our sport is that I think all 30 teams enter opening day with optimism. Everything, you know, obviously everyone's undefeated, and being a 162 game season, I feel our sport is the ultimate meritocracy, meaning that over the course of a season, the cream rises to the top. It's very, very difficult to not be among the best of the best and still make your way into the playoffs in our game. So, you know, there's this optimism. Everyone's had what they feel to be six really good weeks down in spring training. Hopefully you're healthy and you enter with a world of possibilities ahead of you. And in the end, your own merit and ability is going to get you to the finish line.
2-2 against the Astros to start the season. What are your thoughts the way the Sox played? What stood out most?
You know what? We were in all four games. In my personal opinion, that is probably the most difficult place to play in baseball right now. Not only are the Astros a fantastic team, but obviously it's sold out, it's loud, they're used to winning. And you know what? They were relentless. I think every run the Astros scored in the two games we lost on Friday and Saturday were scored with two outs. And there were a number of 0-2, 1-2 pitches that we made that they were able to spoil or gork in for a hit or even drive that, you know, swayed the balance between wins and losses, especially in those two losses. So I love the way we hung with them. I love the way we fought. You know, obviously there's a few things you want to clean up. As would be the case with any four-game stretch, I'm guessing, unless you're really clicking. But, you know, I'm happy we went in there, held our own, and walked out of there splitting a series in an extremely tough environment.
So I want to ask you about the bullpen because Liam Hendricks obviously isn't here yet. Joe Kelly has, whatever it is, 9 career saves for a reason. He's better in a setup role. He's got electric stuff. We saw 30-pitch outing from Reynaldo Lopez yesterday, who's, you know, upper 90s. I think he hit 100 one of his appearances in Houston. How do you manage that closing role? Today's different because I know he won't be available, Lopez, after a 30-pitch outing. But how do you manage the closing role until Hendricks is back cooking at 100%?
You know, Pedro's talked about managing it based on leverage and matchup, meaning the more critical situations are going to get the guys that are the best matchup based upon stuff, handedness, opponent, et cetera, and pitch mix. So I think the absence of Liam, while certainly hurts us and makes everyone sort of rise up to another notch in the bullpen depth, which, you know, some of them, as you mentioned, aren't used to doing, It does, in some ways, free Pedro up to sort of define roles on the fly. And one of the great things about Pedro and Ethan Katz and Kurt Hassler and this whole staff is their ability to communicate with the players. I think there were some quotes from Ronaldo on, I believe, day two down in Houston about how each of the guys know how they're potentially going to be used on a given day, and there's no surprises, and we're giving them ample time to get ready and know the matchups before they enter the game, have the scouting report, have the attack plan in place. And really, I think that's all the relievers are looking for, is an understanding of how and when they might be used and what's the best way to succeed in that pocket of hitters. So for now, we're going to remain flexible, and hopefully at some point in the not too distant future, we wind up not only adding Liam, but Crochet back to that bullpen, which will certainly make us stronger. And in the meantime, we're going to mix and match. You know, today is going to be a little different, having five in a row to start the season, and obviously some high stress or high leverage innings over the last 4 days. You know, availability is going to be a little different today, and that's going to make Pedro and Ethan having to mix and match even more. But the talent is down there, and they'll find a way through.
Rick Hahn with us on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app, the home of the Chicago White Sox. What are your thoughts on the first four games for Oscar Colas?
You know, it's funny. You started talking about the Bears when we first started this conversation, and a lot of these sort of what do you think of after four names questions are sort of like asking what do you think of the Bears offensive line during the second quarter of their first game.
Sucks is the answer.
Schedule we've played.
Yeah, sucks is the answer, by the way, but go ahead.
Oh, we're all going to have answers. I know we're all going to have answers. That's the great thing about sports, is we're all going to have opinions on, you know, the second offensive possession about whether they're going to go to the playoffs or not. I think Colas, though, in these four games, has performed extremely well. Obviously, he has come through a couple of times in key situations. We've seen the defense. We've seen the base running acumen. And I think, although it's been a very small sample, I think you've seen flashes of just about every element of his game, including the fact that there are going to be guys who, you know, try to exploit him in certain ways, pitchers who try to exploit him in certain ways. And the kid has the talent to, you know, wash a bat at bat, make adjustments, and come through later in the game.
Rick, watching Moncada, you see so much ability. For me, it's not, you know, every other year he plays better. And we were having this discussion this morning about Moncada. For me, it's not, is he talented enough? The contract he signed coming out of Cuba said he was talented. When you acquired him in a trade for Chris Sale, that acknowledged that kid's really talented. For me, it's the grit test. Can he play through my ribs this day, or my hamstring, or my foot? Can he play 145 ball games and play through, you know, nagging injury? If he can, I think he's a beast. Your thoughts?
I think anyone who's been around Johan going back the last several years knows the answer to that question, and that is irrefutably those who work with him on a daily basis know that he has that grind and that fight. Now, it's tough to see that through the television or sitting in the stands, because sometimes when he gets called out on taking a pitch right down the middle, you see this sort of sulking and this slow walk back to the dugout. But that's not indicative of the fight inside him, the dedication, the fact that he has repeatedly played through various ailments, including the way we saw him battle through the 2020 season after having the after effects of COVID affect him. This is a guy who wants it. This is a guy who cares. And although that may not come across via body language from time to time, or that may not come across because people haven't gotten a chance to know him through interviews or expansive sort of one-on-ones with the guy, all of us who know Johan know how much he cares, and obviously are thrilled with where he's at right now. And not only making the all-tournament team for the WBC, but the way he has started off these first few games of the 23 season.
I know that he has the offensive prowess. I just want, not just for Moncada, but for the ball club to just be more solid defensively. The reason why that we never see you in the box, you never see NBC Sports Chicago and say, There's Rick Hahn. Because you're in the back of the box like me with your hands over your heads like, oh, my God, another error. You don't want to see that because you don't want to see the ball club underachieve. That's what I'm looking for this season. If there's going to be a change, I always want the team to be more solid defensively. That's just from a loudmouth Sox fan like me.
No, I'm with you, although I'm more pacing and swearing and probably eating.
That's exactly right.
As opposed to my hands in my face. And I agree with you on the defense, from the defensive standpoint. We made a costly error in game three. Mm-hmm. I think the other three games were relatively sound and at times spectacular defensively. From a rostering standpoint, obviously with Benintendi and Colas on the corners, we feel pretty good about where we are from an outfield defense standpoint. Everyone knows what Yoan is capable of doing at third. And, having a shortstop playing second base, especially with the new rules and anti-shift regulations, we think are going to serve us really well defensively as well. So first four games, decent start to that. And it's a matter of maintaining that focus. And it's certainly a priority for Pedro and the coaching staff going forward. And I think you're going to see it translate to the field.
We're going to have Pedro on with us later this week, Wednesday or Thursday, and looking forward to talking to him. Can you give us an update? You touched on Crochet coming back at some point. Can you give us an update on the status, when you expect to have a chance to have Garrett Crochet, Liam Hendricks' health update, and anything else you think that is prudent?
At this point, they're both progressing nicely, obviously from very different ailments, and Liam's being health and related as opposed to baseball or injury per se related. It's a process that we just have to let play out its course. It's not something that we necessarily say like a TJ rehab as Crochet is currently undertaking, that we know at month 12 he needs to be doing this like Garrett is. So until they wind up being placed on rehab assignments, which hopefully will be sometime in the next few weeks, we won't have a specific timeline on their potential return. I will point out that neither player has been put on the 60-day IL, and that's on purpose, meaning that we think there's a real chance that one or both of them return within the first 2 months of the season,
awesome. Which
is obviously very good news.
Rick, what are your thoughts on the rest of the American League Central? As a Sox fan, I'm looking at the ball club that I root for on the south side, but also can't help but to take a look at the Central. So what do you think of the Sox roster makeup versus others in the division?
It's going to be a dogfight. It's going to be a great summer, and we're excited for it. Look, the Guardians are the champs, and until someone knocks them off, they remain the champs, and they're the team that everyone is chasing. Obviously, Minnesota underachieved last year, but they reshuffled a few things. We were able to bring back Correa, and they're going to be dangerous. And look, I know Detroit and Kansas City got off to rough starts, but Detroit's got some good young players and are trying to sort of revamp the way they do things. And Kansas City, no Sox fan's going to look at Kansas City the way they've played us the last few years and take them lightly. So it's going to be a dogfight. I love the fact that we're playing all 29 other teams. I think that's very good for the game. And also, again, as I mentioned earlier, in the end, the best are going to rise to the top, having, faced the entire league. So we are very excited for this summer and look forward to seeing how we match up.
Rick, I also loved, not for the guy, I'm talking about from a fan or club perspective, the fact that you were willing to, and upper management, eat the money on Leury Garcia's deal. That was a Tony guy. I get it. It happened. It's done. But it says to your fan base, hey, we're putting the best 25 guys out there. And whatever you and Pedro decided was the best thing for this team is what you're going to do. I think that's a really cool thing to see.
No, I'm appreciate you saying that. And frankly, Jerry Reinsdorf is the one who deserves the credit for that because he allowed us to build this club by taking what we felt were the best 26 when it was time for the bell to ring. And after a lot of debate and going back and forth, it became clear that Lurie was not in that final mix that we felt gave us the best chance starting on day one. So, look, sometimes these things happen and you never feel real good about eating money, but at the very least, I think all of us should appreciate the fact that, we're run in a way where ownership wants to win as much as anybody and is allowing us the flexibility to eat the money when need be.
Rick, what is your message to White Sox fans that are traveling in now? We've told everyone that, again, the pregame is at 1:30 here on ESPN 1000 with a 210 first pitch, a guaranteed rate. So those that are traveling in, what's your message to Sox fans with this season?
No, I tune in because this is a different brand than what we've seen over the last certainly the last several months of last season. I mean, this is a team that I believe, and those who've been around it feel the vibe that is very similar to where we were at in 19 and 20, and you know, even the first part of 21. The talent obviously is similar in terms of the upside, and we feel that we have a roster that's not only balanced but deep enough to compete and win throughout the summer. So I realize my words mean very little compared to what fans see. So tune in and see for yourself. Make your own judgment.
Hold on a second. I think that we have a slogan. I think he beat Brooks Boyer to it. The first words out of his mouth, what's your expectation of Sox? Tune in. White Sox baseball, yeah. Tune in.
There you go. I'm excited
Wait
to watch,
a minute.
Man.
Well, that's not. That's is that good enough? Is that the new hashtag? Tune in?
Tune in. Take that, Brooks.
You're the one making the marketing calls, apparently, not me. All I know is that this is a fun team to watch, and I leave it to the fans to make their own assessment. No one's going to tell White Sox fans what to think.
That's exactly
so
right.
Let yeah, them I'm, tune in and figure it out.
Tune in.
I'm excited to watch today, man. I can't wait to be on the couch, locked in, watching baseball. It's so great to have the season back.
Rick, as always, we appreciate your time on Cap and Jay Hood, and thanks for tuning in.
Sounds good. Take care, guys.
All right. It is Rick Hahn, the general manager of the Chicago White Sox, on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Tune in.
It's a different club, man. There's a different vibe than there was a year ago. And the fact that there's 2 years left on Lurie's deal, and they said, eat it. That's a big statement, man. That was not cheap.
I think, Brooks, if you're listening, I know he is. White Sox baseball, tune in. I'll wear that.
How about tune in with an exclamation point?
Oh, I like it. All right. Your expectations for the White Sox after splitting the home series or the opening series against Houston. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's Home for Sports.
With Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Don't forget, Carmen Yurko will be broadcasting live on Twitch. So again, after our show, just keep it on because you'll see Carmen Yurko from Wings and Rings in Bridgeport from 10 to noon. They'll keep the show going from 12 to 1:30 on ESPN 1000 right into the pregame show for the Sox as they take on the Giants. And our game time is at 2:10 right here on ESPN 1000. Then Bleck and Abdallah after the Sox right here on ESPN 1000. So we heard from Rick Hahn for the White Sox. And, you know, obviously he's optimistic. I said to you before the season, Cap, that there probably is a need to be able to kind of change some of the parts on this White Sox team. They did not come to terms with Abreu. We knew probably Abreu was not going to return. And so Vaughn's over at first base. Benintendi's there. The young Colas is in right field. Okay. I just feel like Rick is leaning on health. Say, yo, we're a good enough ball club. We just got to stay healthy. Well, everyone goes through injuries through a 162-game season. Let's see if the Sox can be able to get to where they want to be, and that's in the playoffs, and making a real step at this thing, trying to get to the playoffs and actually going to the next level, winning a playoff series and moving forward that way.
Well, there's just a lot of question marks that I think can be answered in an affirmative, positive manner.
Yep.
Michael Kopech. Okay? He's got an electric thunderbolt right arm the good Lord gave him.
Mm-hmm.
I got to see him take the next step. I got to see him every 5 days be out there, not Well, we had this issue with the knee, and we had a Tommy John, and we had an opt-out of COVID. Like, every year it's been something.
Mm-hmm.
I got to see him healthy because he's got, as I said, a thunderbolt, and he has a chance to be special. I got to see guys stay healthy. I got to see Lucas Giolito be more consistent than he was a year ago. He's skinny. That doesn't mean he's going to pitch well.
Mm-hmm.
He's through one start. So I've got all those things got to be answered. As I said to Rick, for me, I got to see Moncada not, well, he's out today, his ribs are sore, or he got dinged by a grump, whatever. Be healthy, because he's got the ability to be a special player. Luis Robert, he's got to take the next step. The guy's got enough ability to be a perennial all-star and a gold glover. He's got to continue to do that. Oscar Colas, good first weekend mm-hmm. against a great opponent on the road. Is he that guy? So there's questions.
I expect for the Sox to play a cleaner baseball as far as getting on base and keeping the line moving. Like, I like the 1-2 punch of Anderson and Robert Jr. at the top.
Mm-hmm.
I think those two can steal a lot of bases. And by the way, we saw a lot over the weekend. The stolen base is back, Cap. It's back. After like 10 years, 15 years without it, we're back to teams stealing bases, getting moving up 90 feet. I don't know if that is because of the big Lou Malnati's pizza box for bases now. I don't know what it is. I'm just glad that we're seeing it because it's action on the base paths. It is. It's something that has been missing in the game. You and I came up with having a flea at the top of the lineup that's stealing bases. Always.
It was Juan Pierre, mm-hmm. or Ricky Henderson, whatever generation you want to. There were always guys. They would hit the little roller on the ground, get on, steal second, steal third, bam, fly ball, 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, how did that happen?
Yeah.
Ball didn't go very far.
Mm-hmm.
I like this brand of baseball. I like the pitch clock. I thought NBC Sports Chicago, hats off, and Marquee both did a good job showing the clock. Shay, was I talking about that with you?
I tweeted, I thought NBC Sports had the best version of it.
They did a really nice job, and I saw it on Marquee as well. But I was watching the ESPN game the other day on opening day, and I did not see it as noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
I like knowing you have to be, as a hitter, addressing the pitcher with 8 seconds on that clock. And I saw an umpire come out and go, right there, mm-hmm. violation, strike one. I loved it. I like seeing the clock. I like seeing it tick down and go, let's go. We got action. I like what they've done with the game.
They've eliminated a lot of the downtime, whereas a fan in the stands, you have to be locked in on exactly what's going on because you put your head down into your hot dog, if you're pardon the expression.
Yep.
Put your head down, and all of a sudden it's like, wait, whoa, how did that become 2-1? I saw just one. What happened there because of a rule that was broken, something that did not happen. The pitcher or the hitter did not engage something.
Or
right?
The pitcher delivered it much more quickly than you're used to in the past is more likely.
That's pretty good.
And I love it. I absolutely love it.
I think it's good for the game because it keeps your attention. Like, the reason why that they're getting away from some of this dead time is because they want people to pay attention to the game. What did Jesse tell us to... What's the average over the weekend? 235, 240 for time? That what Jesse told us earlier?
Yes. We're saving about 21 minutes so far, and I think it's going to get better as the weather warms up.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Like, again, I'm good either way, Cap. You can give me a three-hour ball game. I just called a three-hour ball game with UIC. So you can give me that, or you can give me 230. Either way, just give me something entertaining. Give me something entertaining.
I agree.
So that's what I'm looking at.
I agree.
312-332-3776 is our phone number. Worst weekends right around the corner on Cap and Jay Hood.
Hi.
Here's today's headlines with Cap and Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The White Sox defeat the Astros by a score of 6-3. And the first pitch for the White Sox game against San Francisco has been moved up an hour. So if you're going to the game, a 1:30 pregame and a 2:10 first pitch right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. The Cubs, they lose to the Brewers by the score of 9-5. They'll play the Reds later on this evening. The Bulls, they erased a 23-point deficit yesterday against the Memphis Grizzlies, scoring 31 points off of 18 turnovers while turning it over only three times themselves. The Bulls won 128-107. That's a 44-point swing at the United Center yesterday. LSU won their first women's basketball national championship in program history, defeating Iowa 102-85. The WWE and UFC are combining to create a $21.4 billion entertainment company. Vince McMahon is still going to be in his role as chairman of the board of World Wrestling Entertainment, pal. Jay Moore.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Swept by the Pirates?
We can only ask or wonder that he is asking some departed relative for forgiveness for this atrocious performance.
Falling in an outhouse? Or maybe a dose of instant karma?
The evidence would lead me to believe that he did not break the plane before getting rid of the ball. And who knows what's going on inside that helmet?
It's time to find out who had the worst weekend on Cap'n J-Hood.
Time for Worst Weekends here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app, that same ESPN Chicago app in which you could find White Sox Weekly with Connor McKnight. Need Sox talk? Go to Connor McKnight. Available now on the ESPN Chicago app, White Sox Weekly. Worst Weekends, here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Yeah, we'll start with this. It involves me, and recently we did this before where I incorporated a bad beat that I experienced when my Michigan State Spartans blew a 13-point lead in 90 seconds and ended up losing by six, and I had them plus 5.5 on the spread, so I didn't even win the bet when my team blew a 13-point lead. I suffered again another unbelievably bad beat in Orioles and Red Sox the other night. Take a listen to this.
All year, I was critiqued about who I was. All year.
And Yoshida hits a fly ball into short left. Henderson racing out. McKenna's there. And McKenna drops the ball. Yoshida took a big turn. He will hold it first. And Ryan McKenna drops the last out on a routine fly ball to give the Red Sox life.
Well, the Red Sox going to send Duvall up now.
Yeah. Well, this is the guy they want up. Look at that. If he hits a single, then that won't tie the game, but he'll hit for the cycle. But he got home run power.
Tying run is at first after the error. Duvall cracks it to left field, and it is gone. The Red Sox improbably have won the game on the second home run by Duvall. A devastating and demoralizing defeat. Only game two, but it hurts a whole lot.
To turn a phrase Cap loves, Ryan McKenna has made the list. A pop-out to left field in your glove, and you drop it. And then the result, walk-off home run.
That sucks. That is a bad beat.
We've all been there, man.
Yeah. How does that happen, right? Well, it happens because it's sports.
And it's played by human beings.
That is
a bad
beat.
Give them a break, kid.
Yeah.
You know me. I don't overreact to put people on the list lightly.
Huh?
What?
Who are you talking to? You know the mics are on, right? We can hear you.
Yeah.
Well, who are you talking to?
I have good reason when someone makes the list.
Right?
Put John Hamm on the list because he played a guy you didn't like in a movie.
Not one time. He was a jackass in Top Gun Maverick.
All right, let's
He was a jackass in Richard Jewell. And he's a Cardinal fan. I got three reasons.
So is Wilson Contreras.
No.
Also on the bus list.
That's my guy.
Yeah. As a dirty Cardinal, still your guy.
I hope he wins a lot at the plate. I hope his team loses.
Mm-hmm.
How I feel.
How about the Cubs? How about against the Cubs?
I don't care if he goes 5-for-5 as long as Go Cubs Go is playing.
God, I'd rather for him to go 0-for-5 and not play that song. All right, what else is on that? It's out of date.
That song's awesome.
No, Cap, it's out of date.
I don't care.
This old toe tapper, baseball time is here again. Wah, 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 wah.
That's right.
You can watch it all on WGN.
It's going back in history. Even Dansby Swanson talked about how awesome that song is. Thank you, Jay Moore.
All right, Jay Moore, that's enough. There we go. Now we move on to
what?
You can catch it all on Marquee. Maybe. All right, what else do you have?
Wow.
So we have me losing an Orioles money line on a dropped third out that just
That's terrible.
Popped out of Ryan McKenna's glove because he didn't squeeze it. We also had the San Diego State buzzer beater over the weekend to eliminate FAU. If you watched this on Hulu, you didn't see it. Hulu cut out of the broadcast, and all anybody watching on Hulu Live got during the final seconds of San Diego State and Florida Atlantic was a nice little screen that said, "We're having trouble playing this right now."
Oh, no. Oh, my God. See? Technology, man. All you needed to do is just like how I watched the game. Rabbit ears. That's how I watched it.
You did not watch it through rabbit ears.
You know why? Nothing went down, man. I had the rabbit ears going. I went over there, turned the channel over to 2. It was outstanding.
Yeah, no, you didn't. I know what the Hood Cave's got. It's got all the accoutrements. It's got all the technology.
Jay Mortella, man. Just put on the rabbit ears and then just go over there and turn the channel over to 2.
Everything is digital now. There is no more rabbit ears.
What are you talking about? That's not the way it is in my home. I went over there and turned it on channel 2. One click. Bam.
No shot.
Then you got a chance to watch that.
You watched it on channel 189. High def Xfinity.
2. On a regular channel.
No
chance. Then Cronkite came on after that.
No, he's dead.
Huh?
He's dead.
You don't know. All right. So what?
This guy, man.
What do you mean, this guy, man? What do you mean?
I heard an ad for Lenny File. He's talking about newspapers. Who even reads newspapers anymore? Except me. I've got it right here.
Cap, I was representing you in that spot. What do you mean?
Every day I go out in the driveway and there's my newspaper.
All right.
My
so
kids laugh.
So, that's something. That sucks, by the way. You're trying to watch it on Hulu. It's like, yeah, you know, I'm cutting the cord. I'm going to go with Hulu. And then that happens. Oh, that's bad. All right, Shay, what else do we have?
We also have, speaking of FAU and SDSU, San Diego State won the game on that buzzer beater, and their radio voice, Ted Leitner, took immediately to trolling FAU for losing. Listen to this.
That's for sure. Here's Davis on the drive against AG, puts it up short, rebound, AG. AG got the rebound. Here are the Aztecs down 1, 4, 3. Lamont Butler, pull-up jump shot.
Good. They're storming the court. They're storming the court. Who's going to the championship game? Not FAU. No. The San Diego State Aztecs are going to the NCAA championship game on Monday. How about them Aztecs? How about them boys? Pull-up jump shot off the baseline in the near wing. Nothing but net for Lamont Butler.
Listen, people are mad at Angel Reese for not showing class and beating Iowa. How about Ted Leitner in the immediate aftermath of this? Who's going to the title? Not FAU. No. What are you going to do that for? They never even won a tournament game before.
I actually didn't even have a problem with it because they were 14 up. I think most San Diego State fans went, well, this ain't happening this time.
Mm-hmm.
And then here they come roaring. My wife, hey, can we... Do we have to watch this right now? It's a blowout.
Hun.
Can you help me with something? I'm like, hun, this is the semifinals. No. And they could come back. So we had a little wager, Mindy and I won said wager because they came back.
What'd you get?
It's personal.
Oh.
And the second game, they were up like 17. They cut it down to 10. I said, you want to go double or nothing? And she's like, they won't get it closer than 10. And, of course, they didn't. So I lost.
Yes.
So but, we're even.
But you won that first one, though.
I did.
Yeah, that's good. So the ball goes in. Upstairs, hon. Here we go.
Let's go.
In. And the ball went in. Bam. Got but it.
Multiple ways.
Ted Leitner.
All right, and then finally, we have our Dumbass of the Week award. It goes to a guy who went to a Dodger game and wanted to marry his girlfriend.
Oh,
he
God.
Jumped onto the field and in the outfield decided to take a knee and propose. While doing this, the camera turns at the perfect time. This video went viral. You can find it pretty much anywhere. Guy at Dodger Stadium got tackled. While proposing, the security guy comes over and hits him like prime Urlacher. Absolute hit stick, flattens him to the turf.
So what did he think that was going to happen? You think he was just going to just genuflect in that position and nothing would happen? What are you, a moron?
Yeah, he was dumb. Now, look, I've seen some people on social media saying, well, it was obvious he was holding the ring up. Did you have to light him up like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't know what he's capable of in today's times. Ryan Poles ought to be looking at that guy for a free agent contract.
I think this is already established. I think we know this. Some people are just stupid. I mean, what do you think was going to happen? Hey, I'm going to propose to my girlfriend. I'm going to do it right here on the, and nothing's going to happen. She's just supposed to just shake her head yes, and then you go back to the stands and have nothing. Of course, something's going to happen to him. He should be under the jail.
You know, it's a felony in many states that if you run onto the field of a professional sporting event, it's a felony, not a misdemeanor. Used to be a little slap on the wrist. My college roommate, he thought it was real cute to run on the field at a Brewers game.
Mm-hmm.
He jumped over in left field and sprinted all the way to right field. And this is back when it was kind of cool to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the fans helped him with security chasing him. He was a quick dude. Jumped over the little lower wall there. The fans parted. He went up and they closed up so the security couldn't get him. He was looking back. There was a big dude waiting for him at the top. Bam! Arrested.
That's exactly right, because that's what should happen. You want to be a jackaloon? Here you go.
Correct.
We got something for you. I know some ballparks will be waiting for a guy like that with some rubber hoses and badges.
They ain't messing around.
Some places I know.
We had Monica Seles. Shay doesn't remember who that is. Monica Seles was the number one tennis player in the world. She got stabbed by some idiot that ran out there. Remember that?
Right in the back.
Right in the back. Mm-hmm. She's lucky she's okay.
So put that on the poll at ESPN 1000, and you can vote on who had the worst weekends. Ted Leitner, that's so funny. What is he doing there? Yeah, he's happy about them boys.
How about them boys?
Yes, the voice of San Diego sports, Ted Leitner, for many, many years. Good guy. All right, coming up, we will give you the Cap and J-Hood cut of the day. And don't forget, Carmen and Yurko, just keep it on Twitch, guys. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, because Carmen and Yurko are coming up at the top of the hour on Cap and J-Hood.
Cap and J-Hood are back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
If you missed our conversation with Jed Hoyer and the general manager for the Sox, Rick Hahn. They're both available on the Cap and J-Hood feed on the ESPN Chicago app.
Yep, a lot of fun talking to both guys. And again, we'll get you the time as soon as we finalize it, but Pedro Grifol will be on the show either Wednesday or Thursday.
Now time for the Cap and J-Hood cut of the day.
It's brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. If you're a bourbon aficionado, I'm not at the level of Carm, but I like my bourbon. They've got a bourbon called Elmer T. Lee at the bar. Oh, boy, is that good. Spectacular. So try the bar. Ask for PJ, the bartender, my favorite. Jay Moore.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
I was going back and forth with one of our fine listeners, Mrs. Carcino, on Twitter. We were DMing back and forth.
Uh-oh. This boy be in my DM say I'm pretty.
Wow. I was not sliding into her DMs. She's a happily married woman.
Uh-huh.
But we were going back and forth.
Cap is in my DM, say I'm pretty.
I enjoyed the discourse.
And that's all, folks.
Speaking of Miss Carcino, there she is in North Riverside on ESPN 1000.
Hey!
Hi, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
How you doing?
I mean, someone has to win, someone has to lose.
It happens. So did you have a problem with the pointing at the ring by Angel Reese?
No, I did have a problem with the taunting. Like, she followed her around. Like, okay, yes, talk your stuff. Talk it. You're winning the game. Go ahead. But, like, just, I don't know. It just seemed like it was a little over the top. But you know what? LSU outplayed us. We got into foul trouble early, caused our defense to collapse. They have a deep bench that came out and couldn't miss. And you can't allow someone to put up 100 on you and expect to win. That's just the way it works.
And you don't like Kim Mulkey, do you?
No. She was on the court more than Reese was. Apparently, a coach's box does not apply to LSU. I don't know. It was weird. Like, I watched her run into a ref, and they did nothing. She was literally out on one of the logos. I have a picture of it. And nothing. Like, stay in the coach's box. That's where you're supposed to be.
Yeah, look, she's a great, great coach, and they got a lot,
absolutely,
a lot of talent in that program. It was just a good, entertaining weekend of basketball, and Caitlin Clark's a beast. So
she is, and the refs took Caitlin out of the game. I mean, the calls. I'm not the refs. I don't know what they were doing. There was bad calls going both ways the whole 40 minutes. It was insane. Like, you had the opportunity on the biggest stage to help promote the women's sport. And just the calls, it ruined the game. We did not get the game we deserved yesterday.
Well, here's the thing. You and I will continue to support women's athletics, the basketball for the WNBA and the women. It continues to grow year after year, so I'm a big fan.
Right, and then it's growing. And they had an opportunity to help grow it yesterday, but that game did not, the officiating in that game did not help grow the sport.
Ms. Carcino, we appreciate the telephone call.
Thanks for the call, Ms. Carcino. Let me know when we're having coffee.
Cap, today, go ahead, Shay.
We do have a little bit. I want to update some news here from Adam Schefter about 2 minutes ago. Georgia defensive tackle Jalen Carter is visiting the Bears today. It is his second visit, with him already having visited the Eagles. Carter's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, said he is declining visit requests for any team drafting outside the top 10 picks. The quote, "I'm confident Jalen will go in the top 10. He's a good person, a family man, loves football, and is a generational talent."
Oh, did you write that? Or
I did.
So the last part.
I texted it down to Drew. Here's what we want to say.
It sounds like the generational talent. And by the way, based on what I saw from Georgia, yes, he can be. There's no doubt. But again, Cap, it's up to him to control the narrative.
Correct.
You control. You know what's happened. So now, what do you do to move forward? You and I went through this exercise before of if you're Jalen Carter, what do you say? If you are management, what do you say? And what we said is, hey, man, you got to make sure that you know what you did, the involvement that you were there, take ownership of it, and then be an adult moving forward. Listen to people and keep a clean nose.
I have surrounded people with me. Drew Rosenhaus is a respected agent, and I have a team around me. I'm learning from my mistakes. I'm 21. We've all made mistakes at 21. Mine are in the glare of the media much more so because I was the number one prospect at one point in this draft class. I promise you, you will get the best from me on and off the field. I will be held accountable by my actions.
For those of you listening and you say, I don't have the Twitch app, listen, what we want you to do right now, we want you to go to Twitch. Just type in twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, because that's where you can watch exclusively Carmen and Yurko start their show from Wings and Rings in Bridgeport. So they're going to be there until 1:30. Right into the White Sox in San Francisco, 1:30 pregame, 2:10 first pitch. So, again, don't say you don't have Twitch. You just type it in, Cap, and it'll pop right up.
Right up there on your computer, so, or on your iPad or your phone, whatever it is. Enjoy. Carmen Yurk are going to be wildly entertaining. And then we've got baseball all afternoon long as the White Sox get it going. And, again, if you're in the car going, wait, the game's at 3:10. The game is at 2:10. They've moved it up because of inclement weather coming to the area later.
Thank you, Shay. Thank you, Jay Moore. Thank you, Twitchers and callers and listeners, for checking out our show. How about we do this tomorrow at 7?
Again, baby. Loved it. Great energy, as always. A lot of fun. Have a great day. Take that.
So long, everybody. From Chicago.